All right, great to have you back with us. This weekend is our first Original Joe's contest of the year. So at Baseball Marty on Twitter, and I've already tweeted it out, we want you to predict the record of the Giants in 2022, 162 games. Raf will break all ties, and we'll give you till midnight tomorrow night to make your predictions. And we've got close to over 200 already. So at Baseball Marty, dinner for four at Original Joe's. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, dinner for four at Original Joe's. Not bad, huh?
That's one of my favorite things in the world.
Really?
Seriously. I'm not kidding.
I know. No, believe me. Mine, too. The Dugan family. So that's our contest. Predict the record of the Giants and dinner for four at Original Joe's, and we'll figure that out at the end of the year. You know, Ron Wotus and I, the professor, just discussed certain things, Bruce, and it made me think of it. I want to throw it to you as well. The DH is here for the National League. We have not seen that in San Francisco. We're going to be watching a different game, literally a different game now.
Yeah, it's a little bit shocking. I don't think I'm ever going to think it's a good thing. I really would advise everyone out there to read Tim Kirchen's article on ESPN.com about what we're going to miss without pitchers hitting, and a long list of just amazing and fun and different kind of things that happen when pitchers, you know, were hitting for themselves, which is like the entire history of the league. It's pretty rough. You know, I've always said that I like to watch pitchers hit because you learn something about everybody who gets up there. You love watching a good athlete take his cuts. You know, when you see a guy who's hopeless, you go, well, this guy doesn't even work on it and doesn't even care. And I'm okay with that. I think if you play the game, you ought to be you can't have a pitcher not swing the bat. That's just so fundamental. Nobody in the lineup should be, excused from swinging the bat. So, okay, you get the complaints out of the way. You know, my thing now is I'm interested to see who's going to line up at DH for the Giants and everywhere around the league. This is what we have now. Who's going to have an advantage with it? Who's got the perfect guy for it? And who's kind of strapped and really struggling with that position. So, you know, it's just another thing that you have to deal with. To me, it's a lot more serious than the ghost runner or bigger bases or almost anything to lose that. But, you got to ride with it.
Yeah, we're going to be watching a different game. Bunt slash plays, wheel plays, and all the things that we're used to in National League ball are out the window. You know, we're going to do some history stuff later in the segment, but you made me think about it. 1982, Billy Martin sends Steve McCaddy up to the plate with a toy bat because he couldn't use the DH in a National League park. And he tells McCaddy to go up there with a toy bat, and Jim Quick won't let him do it. And that was classic Billy Martin.
Yeah, that was. I covered that team start to finish. And Billy was always – he was unraveling that year. The A's were unraveling. They were about to go into a tailspin that would haunt them for years. But Billy was coming off a great year. He was riding high. He could do just about anything he wanted. And, you know, it hadn't unraveled at that point, really. And that's one of many great moments from Billy. It was totally unpredictable. I mean, he'd put a bunch of names in a hat and tell one of his guys, pick out the lineup, just to whoever you pick first, that's the leadoff guy, and take it from there.
I love it. Steve McCaddy with a 15-inch toy bat because Billy couldn't use the DH in a National League park. Classic Billy Martin.
Hey, McCaddy had a great sense of humor, so he loved it. That one thing about that team was not short on witty characters.
No, McCaddy, he was the guy who used to put soap in the hot dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember I did a show with Steve McCaddy on that about that. Yeah, he was a character. Hey, things you used to do in the Chronicle, you know, with the preview, the baseball preview and all that, you would go through the teams and give so many comments about what to expect. So I thought maybe we could do a little bit of that today.
Oh, sure.
Maybe some of your thoughts on the National League West, and I'll let you take it away.
Well, yeah, in those days I would have like a line of commentary for every single player, you know, in the starting lineup in the rotation. That we don't have time for that. Nobody wants to hear it. But, it's very hard for me to go against the Dodgers. especially after we saw last year. The Giants always play the Dodgers tough, it seems like. No matter who's in what kind of, you know, state they're in, those games are always good, and I expect that to continue. But, you know, I mean, now they get Craig Kimbrell for A.J. Pollock. That's a big deal because they didn't really want to leave the bullpen closing all up to Trinan. So now they've got Trinan and Craig Kimbrell and Brusdar Gretroll and Daniel Hudson. Their bullpen is a lot better. I don't think they're going to miss Kenley Jansen and his ordeals a whole lot. I think they'll miss Corey Seager an awful lot. I really like that guy. It's not that they can't replace him, but I think Max Muncy at second, you know, is not like, you know, that doesn't look like the Dodger infield I think that they could have had. I think another interesting thing there is we'll see how Will Smith really runs the team. You know, the best defensive catcher in the league was always Buster Posey, and we saw what he did for the Giants in so many ways that a lot of things people didn't even realize was going on, but the way he controlled the game. And Smith's probably the best hitting catcher in the league, and the DH will help him, but we'll see about, you know, controlling that staff. And I think they've got to do something about Trevor Bauer, as in, you're out of here, you'll never play for us again. And as far as replacing Pollock, I think, I mean, hell, they've got Chris Taylor, they got Gavin Lux, and they brought in Kevin Pillar. Who knows if he'll play? So that's my number one pick. Now it's really tough not to pick the Giants second, but I think Bob Melvin in San Diego is going to be a good thing. The Tatis injury is really rough, and you know, if he's a guy who's always going to get hurt, then just junk this pick for me. But I see him coming back and maybe not being quite as reckless on the field or off, you know, like motorcycles. Maybe he'll turn into a you know, kite surfer.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, well, who knows? But you know, Tatis and Machado, I think Luke Voit's a good acquisition for them. He actually led the majors in homers, although it was 2020. I mean, he only hit 22 in that weird season, but you know, they got Darvish and Snell at the top. Clevenger's back. I think they're trying to, just saw today, they're trying to trade Paddock and maybe Eric Hosmer as well
to the Mets.
Yeah, that's in the works. But I just think the whole idea of Melvin in charge there and the players, you know, the fans are way into the team. It's very much a contender. Certainly think the Giants are capable of passing them, but I'm going to go with San Diego second and the Giants third. Below that, it's a massive drop off. I mean, the Giants aren't going to sink to the depths by any means. Arizona, you know, they got Madison Bumgarner. Why else would you watch him, really? I mean, Ketel Marte is a very good player, but Nick Ahmed's a good shortstop, but he's overshadowed by so many other guys. And pretty good pickup in Brent Strom, the pitching coach who did a lot of good work in Houston with Dusty. Brent Strom, Jim Barr's old SC teammate. I saw those two guys beat Cal a number of times when I was in college. He's a very good pitching coach. And they get Mark Melancon. But how many late-inning leads is he going to have, you know?
Kennedy in there, too. Ian Kennedy's back.
Yeah. You know, they've got some players. But I think in this, especially in this division, they're just overmatched. And, you know, in Colorado, too, who I would pick at the bottom, unfortunately for Chris Bryant. But, you know, with Bryant, they brought in Randall Grichuk at 31 homers a couple of years ago, C.J. Cron, and Charlie Blackman's obviously a very, very good hitter. And, you know, there's always Connor Joe. Anytime you have Connor Joe in there, you're...
Come on, Carey Crowley. Carey Crowley's wild prediction is Connor Joe, I think, makes the All-Star team. I think that was one of his predictions.
Yeah, I'll just say he wins the batting title. I'll go one better. And, you know, Jose Iglesias is a fabulous defensive shortstop. He really is. It's surprising to me that he's bounced around so much. He's not a terrible hitter, but he makes some of the best plays in any given season, so that'll be a little bit of excitement. You know, they lose Trevor Story. But, you know, for Chris Bryant, you know, it's a good thing that he's got a ring, you know, from the Cubs, and he had a fine season last year with a really, really good team. And it seems like this is all about his family now. They love the outdoors. They love the whole thing, idea of living in Denver. You know, he's probably going to spend the rest of his career there and make a lot of money. And, you know, hopefully they can build a team that gets him back at least into the playoffs. So that's my assessment of the West.
Yeah, very good. I love it. We miss that part of your column. It was fabulous each year to see it. Well, opening day is coming up. And next time you and I will be on, it'll be game two against the Marlins. But here comes opening day. Always a special feeling. There's just something about it. I love opening day.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, and it's great, you know, in the daytime. I was always baffled by the A's, you know, opening at night. I mean, what are you going to get, 18 people instead of 8? It's not that bad, but you know, they're just such a travesty in so many ways. Off the field, you know, their on the field product is always good. The player development, the managers, the way they acquire players in the wake of the exodus of their stars is really pretty admirable. But the franchise is just such a disaster. The fans are so down on them, and the idea of opening at night is just, to me, monumentally depressing. But all that aside, it is great. I miss the traditional opener in Cincinnati. You know, it's 10 in the morning here, and you got a ball game, and it's opening day, and it's Cincinnati, and they got all the tradition, and that just made an awful lot of sense to me. But you know, things are really changing. I mean, there's a lot of talk about realignment now. You know, maybe because of the DH, and the leagues are so similar now that the National and American League designations really don't mean anything. And maybe realign it along geographical means. And I think the, you know, the grand plan is to add two teams. Then you got 32, and you can really have some perfect. Perfect division alignments that matches up. The interleague play would basically be gone. You play everybody, which, by the way, next year you do play everybody next year.
That's right.
which is fabulous. That's really good. That's one of the best things they've done. You're going to see the Yankees every other year, and then in the odd year you'll see them on the tube playing the Giants for three games from Yankee Stadium, which is just really, really strong move. So a lot going on there, but yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And I know we've only got about a minute to go. Your first opening day, do you remember it?
You know, I don't. I was in L.A. when the Dodgers moved west. I'm pretty sure we weren't there opening day. In those days, it was an especially long drive. The freeway system wasn't quite as sophisticated as it is now. And from where I lived, almost from Ventura County to Anaheim, was like going to Nebraska. But I suspect it was around 62 or 63. It's funny, I don't remember it specifically, but I just remember. I remember going. But what I mostly remember is you know, when I could drive and drive out to Dodger Stadium and watch the Dodgers and watch Koufax pitch to Mays. Those are much stronger memories than opening days for me.
All right. Actually, Raf says we have a couple more minutes, so I have to calculate correctly. A couple of things I want to bring up. One, Mark Ibanez retired, Bruce, and we both know him. What a long career as sports director of KTVU, Channel 2. How about Mark Ibanez?
Oh man, that's really heartwarming, because you think about this guy, and you think about the television business and all the names that you've known over the years, and how they move around. You know, the radical transitions happen. This guy joined KTVU like 43 years ago, and he's still there. And he just rose up, became the sports director, and everybody said, "Yeah, you bet he is. He's very, very good. He knows how to address players in good times and bad, and he's one of the nicest guys in the history of man." So it's just a wonderful retirement. Seems like the perfect time. I can kind of relate to it, having been at the Chronicle all these years, and I hope he enjoys it as much as I do.
All right. Someone we lost over the winter, a couple of people we'll talk about during the year, but one is Sam Speer. And, of course, he had the show on KNBR, the horse racing show, but he was a great baseball fan. He called me all the time.
Yeah.
And this is my first season without Sam Speer.
Yeah, he'd call me sometimes, and he would get a topic that was really kind of nuanced. I'm not sure, you know, I can't think of anything specific, but something really, really specific, a strategic thing. And he could talk to you about that for 20 minutes, not only about what had happened last night, but, you know, historically, what other teams would do here, why it's wrong, why it's right. The man saw sports in magnificent detail. He was so into it, and I've always enjoyed people like that who just go a little deeper and really lived it. And that's a big loss, you know, especially in the horse racing community. But yeah, that's he'll be missed for sure.
Yeah, yep. Sam Spear, special Rom Rosenblum, who put all to my memories of the game, and he edited all my stuff in the beginning. I didn't know what I was doing. We lost Rom this winter, and of course Ray Fossey as well. But we'll talk about that during the year. But the last thing I'll mention today is the umps are going to be mic'd up. They're going to tell you what the basis of the call was. How about that? That's progress.
Well, it is. Is it still going to be the same time before they get on the mic?
Because that's a good question.
I mean, before they're on the mic, you know, they're on the phone forever, and then they flash a sign. Well, he's out or he's safe. And you know, you're thinking, well, thank God that we can get back to the ball game. Now we got to hear an explanation. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't.
All right. Well, they're trying.
You can't spend two more minutes going through. Well, we looked at this and that, and this happened. There's no precedent or whatever. No, it's just too much time is wasted already.
All right. Very good. All right. Good rant. Good rant on a Saturday morning. All right, it's Giants, Dodgers, Kershaw, Belt is in the lineup, and it's baseball with you and me. All right, I thank you so much, and next Saturday the season's underway, so we'll talk Saturday.
That sounds beautiful, Marty. Thank you so much.
All right, terrific. That is Bruce Jenkins, a lot of fun. All right, TCM, Turner Classic Movies, has a baseball marathon coming up April the 8th and the 15th. The two hosts are going to join us, Eddie Muller and Ben Mankiewicz, and they're a lot of fun to talk to. That's coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.